Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dan Woodring, independent candidate for president for 2016 on a write-in ticket. This is the 4th of July weekend, and we celebrate our freedom and exercise our pride in being an American. Most Americans have become passive with their politics, but when you hear the national anthem or you see our flag flying high over our Olympic athletes, you do get those butterflies in the stomach and you get that tear in one side of your eye. That's the American spirit inside each of us. This year, we're in bad trouble with our presidential choices. You need to fire up that spirit and ignite the flame of pride and freedom and make a grassroots choice to put an independent write-in for president in the White House. Now, I'm going to speak to you today a little bit about the economy, about our national security, and about our benefits. Our economy is suffering very heavily and has been for the past 10 to 15 years. More so under the Bush and Obama administrations. Now, one's a Republican and one's a Democrat, but it makes no difference. Neither one had a plan or really cared about America. Obama's policies has totally crippled this country. They're talking about trade. Trade has done nothing but take jobs from our country and move them overseas. These large companies are moving their repair centers, dispatch centers over to India, where labor is very cheap. They're bringing in third world country engineers for one-third the price of an American engineer on an H-1B visa. Our college students coming out of college are graduates, engineers. A lot of them go on and take their master's, but they still come out of college and are offered less than $50,000 a year. And in most cases, they can't even find a job because there's a third world country, national, taking that spot away from them. We need to have a temporary hold on H-1B visas and the H-2B visa. That will allow our kids coming out of college and a lot of other Americans that are just out of work to take these jobs. We need to bolster our infrastructure, put the unemployed that's so rampant in this country and so falsely reported by the government to work on construction on our infrastructure. We can support programs to have these contractors sign up to build new roads, to repair our bridges, to build new bridges, to bolster and clean up our waterways and make them passable again. They can also work with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for their shoring up of levees and things like this for flood control to prevent damage to Americans in their homes when we do run into bad weather. We have an opportunity to reshape this country and to make it better than what it is now. We can go to the textile companies. We can go to the steel companies. We can go to the different manufacturers. We can shore up our farmers, not the corporate farmers, but our American grassroots farmers that are so badly being abused by these corporate farms, and put them back in business. What happened to the American cotton industry? That was so prevalent in the South, and now it's almost non-existent. Our textile industries used to be the best in the world, and now they just basically don't exist that much. We had a lot of our clothes and different things that were made by the textile workers out of New York, and that's pretty well gone by the wayside, and the fashion industry now is strictly imported clothes. There are very few American manufacturers that are still in business and operate here in America. This can be eliminated by sitting down and talking to these people, giving them some incentive to put our people to work. Our people come first when it comes to employment. And it's time that the government understands that. I understand it, and that's why I'm running for president. We also have issues with taxes. There's so much tax that's charged in this country, it's just unbelievable. Everything is taxed. Our income tax is high. We have gas tax. Our Social Security and Medicare, which I don't really complain about paying. We contribute over $1 trillion a year. And that money is borrowed from by the other departments of government. That's why our Social Security system is in trouble, because the government's bleeding off the money that we've paid into it for years. Now, I have a tax program that's very fair, and it's across the board. It's 5% for anyone from 30 to 50,000. 30,000 and under, there is no tax. There's zero tax on Social Security and Medicare. There's zero tax on our military. And there's zero tax on retirements. Over 50,000 to 150,000, there's a 10% tax, flat tax. From 150,000 to 250,000, there's a 15% tax, flat tax also. Over 250,000 is a 20% flat tax. We're also going to take the corporations that are getting these government subsidies and cut those subsidies. When they make $2 and $3 billion a year profit, why in the hell are we paying them subsidies? To me, that's just ludicrous. We need to stop the subsidies to these large corporations. If they want money for exploration, like the oil companies, take some of that profit and reinvest it into the company. That's what American business is. You make money and you put money back into your company. You don't have somebody else give you money to run your company. That's just asinine. We need to make sure that everything is shored up as far as our schools go for our kids with the government loans. They put these kids so far in debt that there's just no way they can get out. And one reason that is because, one, they can't find a job, and two, the jobs that they do find don't pay enough money to where they can make any progress on paying that loan back. It's my intention to make the community college years one and two of college, if you go to a community college, a responsibility of the state to pay for that school just like they do a public school. Back in the 50s and the 60s, the community colleges in the metropolitan areas were that way. And the student paid for his books. There wasn't large tuitions. If anything, make the tuition $25 a credit hour to where the people can afford to go to college. And once they get that first 2 years under their belt, then if they decide they want to go further, they can borrow money on a student loan at a lesser rate and will be able to pay it back because they won't have to borrow as much money. We need to go to these colleges and find out what their cost is. They're supposed to be a nonprofit. Then why is it so expensive to go to a nonprofit college? Some things I just don't understand, and they just need to be looked at. We need to look at our national security. Of late has been threatened and very concerning because of the ISIS activities in Europe, Turkey, and now Bangladesh as of last night in Orlando. We're letting these people in our borders. We've got the one gentleman in Oregon that came over here and has been deported 6 times, but yet he came back and he managed to kill 3 people on a farm that he worked on. Now, how did that man get back in the country? And why wasn't he flagged and sent back to Mexico? This has happened on more than one occasion. And this is some of the rhetoric that Donald Trump has been speaking out on. But if you listen to it, it's not rhetoric. It's true. It's actually happening. And we need to stop it. Building a wall along the border, I don't feel is going to stop anything because they're just going to go underneath it and it's going to cost billions of dollars to put that wall up. When a fence will accomplish the same thing with sufficient border patrol. Our border patrol now is running very thin and needs to be bolstered. It needs to be given the technology to actually monitor the border. And this technology can detect somebody digging a tunnel by the ground movement with the electronic equipment. It can detect intruder detection when they try to go through that fence or go over that fence. And it can call attention to within 1 meter to 2 meters of where that act is being taken place, to where a border patrol team could respond directly there in a reasonable amount of time. Currently, this doesn't exist, and we depend on them driving that border up and down every day. And there are just not enough people to do that and monitor the border. It's about time that we wake up and we actually see and realize the direction that this country is going in. When we have candidates like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and most Americans are going to sit back and they're going to vote for the least evil, the one that they think is going to cause the least damage to the country is the one that they're going to vote for. when both of them are volatile. Hillary Clinton is flat a crook. And you can bet your bottom dollar that Bill Clinton is going to have his hands in Hillary Clinton's government. She's not going to select a strong vice president. She's going to be like Obama and pick a yes person like Joe Biden was. Joe Biden was a strong candidate, but he was very passive once he lost the election when he was running and joined Obama's team. A strong vice president can help this country grow. And those should know the ins and outs of Congress and drive Congress to come up with some decent bills. He's the president of the Senate. He's the ultimate vote when it comes to a tie in the Senate. So therefore, he presides over the Senate. He should control what the Senate is doing. And I don't see that happening. That's part of the Constitution. The government also wants to privatize the postal system. It says right in the Constitution, in Article 8, that the government will provide postal service and the roads to deliver that post. They have done nothing but steal money from the Postal Service since they put it out to pasture years ago. They're struggling every year to make ends meet, and their system is barely moving along. They have some good programs in the Postal Department. Their shipping, I think, compares to FedEx or to a lot of the other shippers that are out there. You just ship something by mail, and it's a reasonable price, and it gets there usually when they say it is. So our postal system needs to be bolstered, and somebody stand behind them and speak up for them. A lot of our problem with the government exists in Congress. We have had Congress in place, some of them for 20, 25, 30 years. We need to have a term limit put on our congressmen and women and our senators of 2 terms. Just like the president, they don't serve in Congress any longer than 2 terms, to where we can have fresh ideas come into the government on a regular basis. Not every 20 years, not every 25 years, but at the most every 12 years for a senator. A senator serving 2 terms are 6 years each, is a 12-year term. That's more than enough time in public service of the United States. It was never meant to be a lifelong job and a cushy retirement. It was meant for them to go into Congress and serve the people of America. 90% of them that are in there have told lies, scrap and fight on a daily basis to keep their position and their political correctness. These Congress people just need to come to a rude awakening And America, stand up and tell them, we're just not going to take this anymore. And I know you've heard that before. I've heard it before. You know, it's said on a regular basis. Because of that, you need to stand up and make your voice heard. Get off your butts. Join some kind of movement. Look at some independent candidates and make your decision. Your only choice isn't Hillary or Trump. There's 1,000 other registered candidates out there. I am shocked this year to see two that have managed to get the media's ear in Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. But those parties, have libertarians, have been around for years and years, and so has the Green Party that Ralph Nader was affiliated with. But they never got the publicity. They never got the media attention. They never got the recognition. Much like a lot of the other candidates, I'm not a millionaire. I can't fund my own campaign. It's very hard for a regular American to run for any office unless he has money. Or he gets contributions to help him fund that campaign. And that in itself is a crying shame that it costs that kind of money to run for public office. When I hear of hundreds of millions of dollars being wasted on campaign ads, printing that 90% of it goes into the trash, you know, just makes me sick. They're talking about Hillary having a $1 billion campaign fund. Now, what the hell does she need a $1 billion campaign fund for? Because she's crooked? She's going to have to pay somebody off to support her? I mean, the Clintons are not. Bill is sharp as a tack when it comes to political games. And you can bet he's playing them heavily right now to support Hillary. Hillary's in deep trouble with her emails and the Benghazis, which they're still letting her, the Democratic Party, they're still letting her run on that ticket. If that was in you or I, just the implication alone keep us from having the privilege to run. But because the Clintons are who they are, Hillary is getting that free ride. Donald Trump, I have to give him credit. He did fund a lot of his own campaign. But you have to understand, Donald's a businessman. And he understands profit and loss. And the media has given him a hell of a lot of coverage. And it has saved him a lot of money by getting that coverage. And he has spent very little on his campaign compared to Hillary or some of the other primary candidates that were running. So it can be done if you get the right support. So I'm asking you, as Americans, on this 4th of July weekend, to stand up, make your voice heard, and speak up for America. You all have a great 4th of July weekend. And my name is Dan Woodring, independent candidate for President of the United States on a write-in ticket. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you.